Good morning, Antioch family. Pastor Jimmy here. So good to be back with you. It's been about 3 weeks since I've been around. And I know we're still doing this through a camera, but I was on vacation for a week, and maybe you heard that I was sick for a couple of weeks. And it's kind of crazy because today we're going to talk about some busyness of life and distractions. And, you know, vacation was amazing. Being sick, not so much. But what I realized as I was walking through preparing for today's sermon is that, you know, the scripture that says the Lord will make us lay down in green pastures, right? Well, I think there's some truth to what he did over the last couple of weeks. I don't think it necessarily made me sick, but I think he knew I needed a break, and he gave me vacation, and then, you know, just through circumstances, kind of put me in green pastures. And so I come to you today, almost 100%, feeling so much better. Thank you for your prayers. Thank you for just reaching out. Those of you that texted, I really appreciate that. My family and I really, really do love you guys and really appreciate it. And so, as you know, I'm the family pastor, and you can see I obviously like object lessons. And so there's a bunch of stuff in front of me, and we're going to go through every piece of this today. But the first thing I want you to see is this little space shuttle here. And so the space shuttle isn't necessarily for our sermon, but it is for the kids. And one of the things I really felt like doing today and this weekend as I was preparing a sermon, and I really feel like God was just kind of pointing me that direction when I just asked him, what do you want? You already have some scriptures you're going through with the kids. Why not use those same thing for the adults? Because what we're talking about with the kids today, what's starting is rocketing or launching into our faith. And so there's some very simple stuff, but you know what? I'm a simple guy, and I think a lot of times we need to get back to the simple things. And so the things we're talking about today are the same things your kids are getting in our live stream. And we're talking about, again, is blasting off into foundations of faith and what's that look like. And so that's just kind of why the rocket's there. And I like Legos, and I thought it's kind of cool. How are you guys doing? How's your week been? If I had to guess, it's been busy, right? Here's the crazy thing is we live in a time now where we're more busy than ever, but we have all these gadgets that are supposed to make life easier, right? And so these things are supposed to take off stress, make it easier. I mean, I even have a toothbrush that I hit a button and it brushes my teeth for me. I mean, things are supposed to be easier, but they're not, are they? And on top of that, it's some major chaos going on in this world. Pandemics, riots, social media posts just going crazy. There's people throwing out there what they think and what they don't think. And there's truths and lies and anger and all these things going on. And in the midst of all that, it's causing anxiety and stress and just people to get mad and just you name it. There's all kinds of stuff going on. And again, I like object lessons. Can I share one with you guys? So this is a walkie-talkie, as you can probably see. I bought this walkie-talkie, a set of them, honestly, a pair, upstairs, so that I could put one in each room, and so that I could, when it came time to, like, for large group time, I could say, hey, teachers, it's time for large group time, come on in, or when it has a five-minute mark, and Pastor Rob was wrapping up his sermon, I could say, okay, we're at our five-minute mark, wrap it up, and so I thought communication would be so much better and so much easier, but here's some things that I found in the process. While doing that, I would put these things out. And, you know, I'd begin to start talking, or I'd be listening to the room, and I'd hear, rah, 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 rah. And I was like, what was that? I wasn't talking. And I went to the rooms and nobody else was talking. And what I found out is there was other people on the same channel that I was on. And so I had to go and I had to find channel, and I'd put a channel down for a little while, and then it would go off again. And some of them, I even actually had to move them to a different place and then find a channel. Eventually, I finally found a channel that all of them could be on and nobody else interfered on it. But another struggle I had was power. And so these little things obviously run on battery. And so when you're done with them, you take them and you put them back in their dock. That didn't always happen. And you know, I'm not angry. I'm not mad. I'm not, you know, calling anybody out, teachers. But they wouldn't always get plugged back in. And so then I would come back the next Sunday and they'd be dead. There was no power, no battery, no juice. And so no matter how much I talked into mine, the other end never heard it because it didn't have a battery and it wasn't on. And so When I thought about this sermon this week, and I thought about all these things that are just vying for our attention, that are social media and busyness and distraction, I really thought about this walkie-talkie. And so sometimes in our lives, we have to move ourselves. We have to take ourselves out of a situation and go somewhere else. Sometimes I got to change my channel, turn off my phone, turn off my TV. And then a lot of times, most of what it is I'm not plugged into the source. I'm not plugged into Jesus. I'm not sitting at his feet to where I can hear his voice. And so even if I've removed distractions, I'm not going and getting plugged in. And that's a lot of what we're talking about today. We're talking about, are we going to choose a life of devotion or a life of distraction, a life of busyness that drains us of our love, our power, our peace, our joy? All those things go away when we choose a life of distraction over devotion. So I've just began to read this book. It's called The Ruthless Elimination of Hurry. And there's several quotes. It's a great book. I encourage you to listen to it or read it. I'm listening to an Audible right now. I just started it. But there's several quotes I want to share with you guys that really talk about this idea of being too busy, too distracted, and disconnected from Jesus. And so here's the first one, and it's really kind of the main quote of the book and a part of why the guy who wrote the book really did. And it's from Dallas Willard, and it says, "Hurry is the great enemy of spiritual life in our day. You must ruthlessly eliminate hurry from your life." Ruthlessly eliminate hurry from your life. Another quote from Michael Zigarelli, I hope I said that right. "It may be the case that, one, Christians are assimilating to a culture of busyness, hurry, and overload, which leads to, two, God becoming more marginalized in Christian life, which leads to, three, a deteriorating relationship with God, which leads to, four, Christians becoming even more vulnerable to adopting secular assumptions about how to live. And that leads to, five, which is more conformity to a culture of busyness, hurry, and overload." And then you can probably guess it. It's like the whole book. If you give a mouse a cookie and you go through all these things, a mouse is going to want another cookie, right? Well, if you do all these things, the cycle just begins again and again. And finally, a quote from Ronald Rollheiser. "Today, a number of historical circumstances are blindly flowing together and accidentally conspiring to produce a climate within which it is difficult not just to think about God or to pray, but to simply have any depth whatsoever. We are distracting ourselves into spiritual oblivion. Pathological busyness, distraction, and restlessness are major blocks today of our spiritual lives." So maybe we are having some time with God. Maybe we are hanging out, but it's a shallow thing. It's not deep because I've only got 5 minutes today, God. So here's your 5 minutes. Go ahead. Or, okay, I checked the box off. I read my scriptures. I prayed. I listened to music. But then I jump up and I run and I don't sit at the feet of Jesus and allow him to download and pour in and learn from him. And so it's not a deep thing we do. And so a lot of that is what's going on right now. So let's jump into our story today and jump into what we're talking about. There's a lot of things that distract us, right? Again, I think I've kind of nailed this home. This, for me, is one of the big ones. I spend a lot of time on this. And, you know, at the end of the week, do you get that little message that tells you, hey, your screen time is up or your screen time is down? And every week I see it come up. I'm like, oh, was it up or down today? And that's ridiculous, right? Why do I even spend so much time on this when I could spend any time with God? And so I'm trying to learn to cut that out. But here's an amazing thing. It's not amazing. It's kind of a scary thing. It's an acronym I heard for the word busy. It says, being under Satan's yoke. If you don't know what a yoke is, it's this thing that's put on around an ox when it gets ready to pull the plow and it's heavy and it's cumbersome and it locks you into something and it doesn't let you go. And I think this thing might be becoming a yoke for me. And so I'm hoping that I can begin to lift that yoke a little bit. Here's something else I want you to see. So you may have seen this example before, but there's several things in this jar, right? And so what the things represent is what matters to me in my life. And right now, this jar is overflowing, as you can see. The sand represents my job. The beans in here represent family, everything else I do in my life, things I do at home, going for coffee, you name it. And then these rocks, they represent the time I spend with Jesus, the time I spend sitting at his feet. And as you can see right now, this one's just barely, there's four of them, and this one's just barely sitting in there. And when I think about being under Satan's yoke, I think about how heavy these things that shouldn't feel heavy are, because they're weighing down the rest of my life. Now I'm feeling guilty and feeling like I'm not doing what I should be doing. And then that yoke of Satan becomes easier, because then he starts to lie to me, tell me God doesn't want to spend time with you anyway. You got more important things to do. You get my point. And we'll come back to that later. But I have a challenge for you today. Actually, I have many challenges for you. But one of the first ones is, before we jump in and begin to hear a word from God, before we listen and speak and read his word, I'm going to ask you something. Are you holding on to this right now? I know when I was sitting in your shoes on the couch, I would a lot of times be typing, and don't tell Pastor Rob this, but I'd be looking at Facebook sometimes when he was preaching. Are you doing that right now? Can I challenge you to stop? To maybe turn it off, or at least put it away? Or is there something else? Are you reading a book? Whatever it may be doing, whatever may be distracting you today, put it away. Join with me as we dig into the Word of God, as we listen to the Holy Spirit, and as we get a word from Jesus. Okay? Awesome. Okay, so today's story is a perfect example of distraction versus devotion. It's a story of three people. You've probably heard their names before: Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. We hear about them three different times throughout the New Testament, and it's always in the context of family and loving Jesus and being there with him. And there's always kind of a process we go through, especially when we hear about Mary and Martha, about what they're doing when they meet up with Jesus. And so, this story today, it's put us in context of being distracted, and this distraction is going to be Martha, and the distracted person, when they're distracted, they're pulled away from, they're overoccupied, they're too busy, there's a thing between them and the person or the what they should be doing. And so then you got Mary, and Mary is the devoted one right now, and she's holding firmly, cleaving to, and paying attention to the person or the thing. And in this case, it's Jesus. And so that's kind of our story. That's where we're at. I want you to remember those definitions of distraction and devotion. Distraction is being pulled away from or something blocking. And devotion is clinging to. All right. And so we are in Luke chapter 10, verses 38 through 42. And while you turn there, or if you can use this and not be distracted, go there. I'm going to pray for us. Okay. So Father God, as we come to you today, and we just pray, Lord, that the Holy Spirit, you would speak to us today, that the words that come out of my mouth are exactly what somebody is needing to hear from you. Lord, that we won't be distracted, but we will be focused in on you. And because you are worthy, Lord Jesus. So I just pray that in the name of Jesus. Amen. Okay, are you there? Luke 10, 38 through 42. I'm going to kind of tell you this in a story even as I read it. Let's read verse 38 first. It says, "Now as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house." So Martha, being the older sister, it sounds like this was her house. She was, you know, she was helping take care of the family and making sure everybody got what they needed and taking care of the house and all these things. And they welcomed Jesus in. There's no doubt in anybody's mind that Mary and Martha and Lazarus loved Jesus, and they welcomed him into their house. But here's some stuff that we're going to get into is that Mary, it says in verse 39, she was sitting at the feet of Jesus. Martha was busy. She was cooking food. She was cleaning the house. She was getting ready, and rightfully so, right? And I know those of you that have the gift of hospitality, you're like, yeah, it's exactly where I would have been, right? And it's not wrong, but Mary should have been helping her, at least as far as the culture is concerned, especially in that time. The women should have been preparing the meal, getting it ready, and the men were sitting at the feet of the teacher and talking about deep theological things, but Mary was there with them. And I love this, is that Jesus is pretty typical counterculture. He's like, what's more important here is that you're with me. Man or woman, black or white, it doesn't matter. You should be sitting here with me. And that's what's most important right now. But Martha, again, not doing anything bad, she comes in and she's being very distracted, and she goes up to the Lord and she says, Lord, do you not care that my sister's not helping me? Tell her to help me. And I love this because Jesus doesn't like discipline her or yell at her or get mad. He looks at her with just, and I can imagine just love in his eyes as a father to a child, and says, Martha, Martha, you're so anxious. You're so troubled about so many things. But really, there's only one thing that matters, and your sister has chosen that, and those things will never be taken away from her. I can only imagine what's going through Martha's mind right now. You know, she's the worker. She's taking care of the family. She's angry, and she's now beginning to process, well, what does Jesus mean? And maybe you're beginning to process, well, what does Jesus mean? Is it wrong what Martha was doing? No, not at all. And Martha wasn't doing anything bad. She wasn't doing sinful things, was she? She wasn't off drinking. She wasn't off having sex. She wasn't off, you name it. She was just busy preparing for Jesus to come. So even in the midst of good things, we can be distracted from Jesus. Okay, I want to stop for a moment because you're probably sitting here going, okay, or maybe you've heard the story and you're thinking, okay, I'm a Mary or I'm a Martha, or he's a Mary or she's a Martha. And you're, as I go through this sermon, you're going to maybe be edging them or elbowing them a little bit. Let's agree right now. No elbowing, no pointing, and mostly no guilt on where you think you are in this story. Really, I want us all to evaluate, are we devoted? Are we distracted? And use these women as kind of a guide to see where your own heart is. And so my first question for you today is, what are the distractions that pull you away from Jesus? What in your life is pulling you away from or getting in between you and God? And I think in today's society, we're really missing a very valuable discipline in our faith. And that's silence and solitude. And I struggle with this immensely. I love to put my earphones in my head and worship and sing and be loud and just connect with Jesus that way. And it's not wrong. But when it comes to me just sitting in silence, seems weird, doesn't it? But it's so important. And we read this book in our Antioch Discipleship School called Celebrate Discipline. And the author's talking and he says, you know, we didn't used to have to teach this to anybody. This was just part of the culture to sit at the feet of Jesus, either physically like Mary did or metaphorically, and just listen and let the Holy Spirit speak and just soak in the teaching as I read the word or as we go through things. But we have to teach it today. We have to force ourselves to sit in silence and solitude, because not many of us are doing that, and not many of us really know how, and we get a little freaked out. Right? So I hope you begin to learn that this week. So again, let's go back to Martha. So Martha is working hard, right? And here's the distinction that I think we all need to hear, and one that I really am trying to work on in my own heart, is that Jesus wanted Martha to be doing things with him, not for him. Do you hear me? So and I get this because I'm in ministry. I do a lot of things, and a lot of time I do things, if I think and I look back when I'm done, did I do that with Jesus, or was I trying to do something for him? And that happens so often. I don't take time to sit at his feet and pray and ask, God, what do you want me to do today? And God, as I go out, well, who do you want me to talk to? I just go, okay, I'm going to go there. I'm going to go there. I'm going to go do this. And I miss it. And I think that's what Martha was doing. And something else I really struggle with, and I think she was doing this too. She was trying to gain approval of Jesus, right? And the people around her. She wanted people to see how hard she worked. She wanted Jesus to say, well done, good and faithful servant, Martha. I'm so proud of you. And I know I do that so much myself. Like, I, over the years, I've gotten so much better. And I've told you guys this a lot. But a lot of times in my life, the things I've done, standing on a stage, working in missions, in my job and as an athletic trainer, I wanted people to see how good I was, how awesome I was. And I have to really check my heart now and see, why am I doing that? And here's been the most freeing thing that I'm learning and walking through is that there's only one opinion that matters. It doesn't matter what somebody else sees me as or what they think about me. The only one that matters is the Father who created me. He's the only opinion that matters. And when he calls me a son or daughter or beloved, he loves me unconditionally, and I don't have to work for his love. And I spent a lot of my life trying to do that, work for his love. God, look at me. Look how good I was. Don't you love me more? And I'm realizing, no, he doesn't love me more. He's proud of me. Just like I'm proud of my boys when they do good things. But his love never changes for me. And isn't that freeing? I don't have to work for anybody's attention or love because I already have the Father. And you know what? He's the influencer anyway. When it comes to it, he's in control of what people think. So I hope that's freeing to you today. And if you think about that, are you working with him or for him? And what are your motives? I heard this example of being distracted. It's not mine, but I love it. And I was thinking about, we went on vacation this last week, as I told you, and we went rafting down the Guadalupe River. It was so awesome. I loved it. I wish the water had been a little bit higher, a little more rapids going on. But we bought these water shoes, and these water shoes have Velcro on them, right? And so when they're dry, when you put them on, you put the Velcro on, it sticks so well. But if you wait, or if you get in the water first, or the strap is off, they get wet. And then as the river begins to flow through it, things get stuck to the Velcro. And then if you try to put that Velcro back down, it doesn't stick as much, right? Because there's things stuck between it. There's things between the Velcro. And so then it begins to pull away. I just think that's just a great example of what being distracted or pulled away from is. And so anyway, hope that helps you in your distractions and figuring out what those were. And I want to kind of go back to the idea of distractions and what pulls me away from Jesus, and ask you what pulls you away from Jesus. Because can I be honest with you? God gave me an opportunity. He gave me 2 weeks to sit on a couch, right? That couldn't do much more for that 2 weeks. And I would love to tell you that I opened my Bible and I read, and I listened to worship music, and I prayed, and I listened. But unfortunately, you know what I did? I binged Netflix. More specifically, I binged NCIS. I love NCIS. It doesn't matter which one, the main one, the Miami, the New Orleans, the Los Angeles, you name it. I spent a lot of time. I wasted a lot of time. And I look back, and I think, man, what a wasted opportunity. I could have spent time with the one who created me, with the Father in heaven, drawing near to him, and I watched a lot of Netflix. Again, was that necessarily bad? No, but I missed what was better. And so I hope that you hear that when I talk about these things, I understand. So it's not me preaching at you. It's us learning this together. Okay? And so I had so much time during that week, right? But I wasted it. And I think there's a lot of time, a lot of us waste all the time we have. Like, I'm not sick today, but I was able to get up this morning and spend time with God and hang out with him and worship. And honestly, part of it was because I knew I was going to be preaching today. And I wanted to make sure that what I came in here with was him and not me. But there are days that I don't do that. there are days that I get up and I go, okay, I got a to-do list. I got to do it today. And I jump on my to-do list and I miss. And I think, okay, tomorrow I'm going to do it, right? It's kind of like working out. Like during the week, you know, I'll get motivated and I'll say, okay, I'm going to work out. Wait, today's Tuesday. I'm going to start on Monday. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to start on Monday. I'm going to start working out, right? And so I go and Monday gets here and I'll start next Monday. And then Wednesday hits around like, you know, I should probably go work out. No, you know what? I don't want to start in the middle of the week. And I keep giving excuses and I keep doing that. And then I never go work out. We have a limited amount of time. And young adults and kids, let me tell you something right now. Can I share this with you? As far as free time and the ability to do things, you have more time now than you ever will. There's going to be a time in your life that you're going to jump in and you're going to get a family and you're going to have kids and you're going to be working and you're thinking right now, oh, no, I'll do my worship. I'll do my quiet time and I'll spend an hour with Jesus and all that. But if you're not doing it now, there's no way you'll do it then. For the rest of you, whatever you did today is probably what you're going to do tomorrow. Maybe you had a great time with Jesus this morning. Praise the Lord. Maybe you didn't. But the choice is now. What am I going to, where am I going to spend time with God? And how am I going to sit at the feet of Jesus? And I just have to choose to do it. And so we have to really look at what pulls us away from Jesus. And then we have to choose to put those things down. And then we have to choose to spend time with Him. And so to do that, we have to know, what do we do? What do I do when I spend time with Jesus? What is the most valuable way that I connect with Him and that I can sit at His feet? One, again, you need to include silence and solitude in that. But here's some ways that I do, and don't laugh at me. I told you I love music, but one of the things that I really love is country music. Even more old hymns, but I love it when country music singers sing it. I grew up listening to that with my mom and my dad, and like Old Rugged Cross, and I've Got a Mansion, and Amazing Grace. I love Amazing Grace. And so that country music, old hymns, they begin to ground me and center me and begin to eliminate the hurry and the worry in my life. And so I listen to country music. I do listen to contemporary too, but I'd love to go back to my country music. And then a more recent one that I've come to that I really like is I go take a walk. And so Courtney and I began to walk at the Y. And so she kind of drugged me there the first couple of times. You know, I was like, okay, I need to go spend time with my wife, right? No, wait. I need to go spend time with my wife. That's awesome, right? And so, which I really did love it. And that's why we did it, honestly. We went to the Y so we could spend time together. But even if we weren't talking, we were there. But we were listening to books and the Bible and those kind of things. And we walked for an hour. And what I realized in that time with the Bible or the book on faith or whatever it was I was listening to, I had no distractions. I could walk in that circle and I didn't have to think about the day. I didn't think about work. I didn't think about the kids. None of that. It all went away. And so that's a new way that I've began to connect with God and spend time with Him. You know, and I still think that sitting down at His feet, clothes, turning the lights off, turning on some music, and then just turning off the music and sitting there are really important. But you've got to find ways that you like to connect. Is it in nature? Is it I heard one guy say he loved to watch faith-based films. You know, he said it wasn't for the acting, but there was something about them. And so you just got to figure out what it is for you and how you want to spend time with God. So let's go back into our scriptures and let's keep looking in what we're talking about. Okay. So we're in verse 40 and it says, but Martha was distracted with much serving, which we talked about. She went up to Him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me. But the Lord answered her. He said, Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things. And again, I said this earlier, but I love this because Jesus wasn't attacking her or disciplining her. It's like He walked up to her and He looked her in the eye and He grabbed her by the face and He said, Martha, Martha, I love you. I love you. And you're so anxious. You're so troubled. Right? And you know, I think I'm a simple guy. I really am. And I think we make things too hard. And so this is something very simple. Martha's distractions What did they cause? They caused her to be anxious, and they caused her trouble. I think we're living in a time, church, with more anxiety than ever, especially in the Western world, right? Anxiety over tomorrow, anxiety over where am I going to go to school, over the next job, over the pandemic, over the riots. There's so much anxiety. Anxiety on who I'm going to marry, anxiety, you name it. There's so much anxiety in the world. And I really do believe, and I really think, especially as we look at Scripture, that a lot of this is caused because we're distracted from what's the one thing, right? Jesus. We get so distracted, and these distractions cause anxiety and trouble. We get disconnected from Jesus. And so in the process of being disconnected, we lose our power and our peace and our joy, right? And then what happens? Well, what happened to Martha? She blamed her sister. So we begin to blame other people for our troubles. You know, it's not my fault that I didn't get that done. My coworker didn't do his part. It's not my fault that I chose to go drink. That's because of all the stress and the anxiety I have. It's not my fault. It's theirs. They, right? And we make excuses for everything that's going on around us. So we need to be connected. Here's something else. As we begin, and this one breaks my heart, and I've been here, we begin to question God's love for us. Well, if all this is going on, God must not love me. Do you not see me, God? Do you not see what's going on? He must not love me. He must be mad at me. He must be angry. And I begin to walk away and continue to get more distracted. And it breaks my heart because, again, church, his son, he's your daughter, he loves you unconditionally. He's just asking you to come back like the prodigal son. He's waiting for you to turn around, and he's going to run to you. And he's going to pick you up and say, son, daughter, I love you. Satan would like nothing more than to get you distracted and forget that. To put you under his yoke of killing, stealing, and destroying. Instead of love and peace and power. So we question him. We question what's going on. We question his love for us. And here's some crazy things. Is that I know I've done this in my life. I'll be going through something, and I'll have some worry and stress, and I'll be questioning God. Do you not see me? Do you not see what I'm doing? Do you not see what's going on? But what I realize is I never actually went and sat at his feet and talked to him and said, Father, I'm struggling. I don't know what's going on. I don't know why I made that choice. I don't know what to do next. Can you help me? A lot of times I'll go to other people, and wise counsel is good, but I'll go to other people and I'll say, what do you think I should do? And hey, will you pray for me? Instead of first going to the Father and then going and do those things. So can you think back a time in your life when you've done that? You look and you see all the worry and the stress and the anxiety and the things going on, but you never actually sat at the feet of Jesus and never asked him what he thought or asked for help. Again, it's being distracted. And here's the other thing, and I'm a doer. I'm a type A mostly. I'm a control freak. I love to take control. Here's a little hint for you, though. I don't have any. You don't have any. Martha was trying to take control of the situation and say, help me. Make her help me, Father. She's trying to tell God what to do. Woo, that's scary, right? But she was trying to take control. It's not like, again, it's not her saying, Jesus, help me. I don't know what to do. It's like, do something. Do it. Do it. Right? There's a complete difference there. And so when we lose control, or when we lose our connection, we try to take control. I was thinking about this. You remember when your kids were little? I don't know, probably sometime around 2 years old, there's that whole I do stage. I remember both my boys went through that, right? You try to teach them how to use their fork. I do, right? And so they would take it away. And you love those because you want them to be independent in some things. But I think we become too independent. And here's a quote that I heard about this, and I want to read it to you. And it says, if dependence is the goal, weakness is the advantage. And so it's okay. Like, Jesus gives us gifts, And he wants us to use those gifts, but not of ourselves for him, but remember with him. And so I want to be dependent on him for my strength, for my power, for my joy. I can't do those things. I can't create those things, but he can, right? So dependence is the goal. Weakness is the advantage. So if I just open my hands and let him have control and give it over to him. And Charles Spurgeon says it like this, we lose our strength as a worker with God, not for God, with God, if we forget our dependence as a believer. So the power in our serving, as I get ready to do ministry, whatever it may be in my job, as an athletic trainer, or in my job as a pastor, or at a coffee shop when I meet people, or ministering to the little ones, it doesn't matter. I need to be dependent on him and released, and then I can work in my gifts. And that's where the power comes from. And so as we think about getting devotion, like we want to be devoted and independent, right? Now, excuse me, we want to be dependent on him. I thought about this too. So again, back to when my boys are little, they used to come to me and like they would come and they would sit on my legs, right? And they would wrap their arms around me really, really tight. And they'd want me to walk, daddy, walk. And so when I got two, I was trying to struggle with two of them. But even with one, like you're pulling them along, right? And sometimes I'd try to play with them and kick them off, but they would hold on so tight, I couldn't get them off my feet. And you think about devotion as clinging to the Father, clinging to Jesus. That's what they were doing. They were clinging to their Father. And so I want you to think about that in times, all the time, but especially when we're busy, right? And it seems like a paradox because you got a to-do list a mile long. You got to get things done. You got family coming in, whatever it may be. You got a job. You got things you got to get. It doesn't matter. It matters. But what matters more is clinging to Jesus. That's what is necessary. That's what is priority. And it's the only thing that is going to battle anxiety and fear and worry. It's the only thing that's going to give you peace and joy and power. Now, does it always go away? I can't say that it's going to, but I can say in the midst, and I love this, I heard this quote once, it says, sit at his feet so you can stand in the storm. Do you hear that? Sit at his feet so you can stand in the storm. Because that's where the peace and that's where it comes from. And we've got to do that in the midst of the busyness. Okay. One thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her. Verse 42. And as we again keep talking about Mary and Martha and the choices they made, church, what have you chosen in life? What did you choose? Are you choosing distraction or are you choosing devotion? And again, for true devotion, to cling, I've got to sit at his feet. Just like Mary came in and sat at his feet, three different times she sat at his feet. And in this one, she was being taught and listening and learning from Jesus and hearing his words and gaining experience and getting to know him, getting to know what his favorite color was, getting to know what his favorite pie was, whatever it may be. But she was getting to know Jesus, the one who created her. And I get that we all have struggles. I'm a pastor, and I do. I love to read God's Word. I love to study. I love to get into it. I love to hear. But I struggle with things too. I hear friends who'll say, oh man, I got out this morning, I had breakfast with Jesus, and he just downloaded all this information to me. It was so amazing. His love just poured out of me. I just felt it. I have those times, but not always. Probably less than more. And I think it's probably because of my distractions. But I understand when you say, I don't understand the Bible. I read it and there's nothing there. I don't hear the voice of Jesus. Here's the thing. If you say you can't understand it, or you can't hear God's voice, or he doesn't talk to you, those are lies from Satan. There are things that we can do, silence, solitude, reading the word more, praying more, talking to people and having them help us learn how to do those things. We live in a society today that you have access, so much access to preaching and resources. And maybe you're visual, maybe you read, maybe you listen. There's so much access. We have discipleship, and so you're one-on-one. And so there's so much opportunity out there for you to do that. But I do get that it can be hard. I've struggled with it myself. But we just have to take time. And here's what I love is that honestly, I do put work into it. But when I truly sit back and I really spend time with him, hear this quote, the Spirit of God reveals the things of God so that I or you may be the men or women or the sons and daughters of God that he wants us to be. It's just such a simple quote. The Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, reveals things of God when I read, when I pray, so that we may be the men and women of God he wants us to be. So again, it's this posture of surrender, not this posture of holding on and worry and fear and being under Satan's yoke, right? And so again, we'll go back to Martha. Her choice wasn't wrong. There was just something better in front of her. The scripture says that Mary chose the better portion. And it's not talking about food here. It's talking about Jesus. Scripture says that Jesus is our portion. And that's the portion that she chose. She also chose salvation. Now, Mary was saved, and Martha was saved. I have no doubt in my mind. But the first choice, the first thing we do when we're talking about what will we choose, devotion over distraction, is salvation. And in that salvation, and it says, the scriptures, Jesus said in 42, that cannot be taken away. Salvation can never be taken away from us. Jesus as our portion can never be taken away from us. So he is our portion. He's the thing that he wants to be. And so, and that's what Jesus is asking us to do when he's saying, Martha, come sit at my feet with Mary. He wants us to take this proper posture, to spend time with him and worship him and get to know him the way Mary did. And I'm a firm believer in postures. I love postures. I love getting on my knees. I love raising my hands. I love at times just getting on my face. But I don't think it's necessarily the physical act. When I get on my knees or when I lay on my face, I'm surrendering everything. It's a posture of surrender. And so I think also what Jesus is asking us here, this posture that Mary has assumed is as a heart surrender also. She surrendered her time, her worries, her cares, the things that she had to do for something better. And she surrendered her heart to him. And again, that posture leads to salvation that can't be taken away. It leads to a life where we serve with Jesus. It's a life of wisdom, a life of power, a life of peace that only comes when we truly surrender and become dependent on him. So as I surrender my wants, my desires, my time, I truly get to know him and I can become dependent on him. And here's, when we talk about being busy in the yoke of Satan, when I truly surrender those things, I take on his yoke, not mine. Did you know that Jesus said he had a yoke too? So in Matthew 11, 28 and 30, come to me, all who are labor and are heavy laden. I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Do you hear that? He says, take on my yoke. Learn from me. Sit at my feet. I am gentle, lowly. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. He takes that on for us when we take on his yoke. And I'm going to read the Passion version for you because I just really love it. It says, are you weary? Are you carrying a heavy burden? Then come to me. I will refresh your life, for I am your oasis. Simply join your life with mine. Learn my ways and you'll discover that I'm gentle, humble, easy to please. You will find refreshment and rest in me. For all that I require of you will be pleasant and easy to bear. And so, you know, again, there's going to be struggles, but he's going to take those and help you and be with you and walk with you. Which brings us back to our other jar. Same jar, same size, same amount of stuff, but as you probably know, what did I do first? The things that I want to do, that I choose to do in this case, were to be still, to pray, to read his word, to receive his gift of love and salvation, to spend time with him. Those are the things I put in there first. And so that was my foundation. And as I put in everything else that came around it, that supports everything else. That supports my life. That supports my job, my family, my time in ministry. It supports and it takes the load off because now God is carrying the load because I've spent time with him and I'm connected. I'm not distracted. I'm devoted. I'm clinging to him. And so that's the difference. And I want to end today with just a kind of a quick story. This week, if you know the Johnson family, Andy put out a post this week, and I love it. She was so real and so raw and so put out there what their family's been going through. You know, they adopted three boys, and they love them to death, and they're their mom and their dad, and they've just stood beside them and been so strong. But life has been hard. If you read her post, you realize that they've been through a lot. Those boys went through so much when they were little. And it's so hard to get over those things. Life has been very, very tough for them. But what she says is, that doesn't mean there hasn't been joy. And she says, there definitely has been. And what I do know is God has been with me the whole time. She said, I know that my peace and my love and my hope comes because I have Jesus in my life, because I sit at His feet. She says, I have hope that my boys will be able to surrender to Him someday, and their lives will be changed, and they'll be mighty men of God one day because of Jesus. I know that I'm promised a day when there'll be no pain, no sorrow. I know that there is hope in life. I have joy, and there's no other way I could have joy because of what I've been through than with Jesus. And what I love is the last thing she says is, look, if you don't know Jesus, if you don't have the Holy Spirit, if you haven't chosen devotion and held on to the things that cannot be taken away, eternal life in Jesus Christ, she says, do it now. So if you've never done that, I ask you to do that. If you have questions, you can get on. You can send us a prayer line. You can email us. You can reach out to us. Find somebody else in the church. But we want you to know the joy, the love, and the peace that comes from being connected to Jesus. And He loves you. His love is unconditional. And if you do know that and you're feeling anxious and distracted, choose devotion today, church. Find a way to build your foundation on Him and let Him carry your hope, your anxieties and your fear, and take on His hope, His peace, His love, and His joy. Okay, church, I love you, and can't wait to see you next week.